Hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. This is a follow-up podcast, I guess you could say part two of the study of Proverbs chapter 1, Introduction to Proverbs. In part one, we got down to verse 8, and in verse 8, we had already talked a little bit about the importance of both dads and moms teaching kids, and also teaching kids to be teachable. That's a very important part of that. You can't just leave it up to the kids to be teachable. They probably won't be unless we teach them to be teachable. But of course, the main command here is to the kids. We have to teach the kids. This is what God commands you to do. So as we approach this, let's ask God to help us understand what we're doing here. Father, we need your help. Every time we open your word, we need your help. If we look at it from our human wisdom and from our human fleshly perspective, we'll probably explain it away, Lord. You know how we are. We'll make it mean what we want it to mean. But we pray that you'd help us to be teachable as we try to teach our children to be teachable and our grandchildren to be teachable. But would you please help us right now as we listen to your word, as we think about these important principles and truths from your word, to internalize your truth and to live it out. Thank you so much for this awesome book and this terrific chapter. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as parents and as grandparents, we have to teach our kids that God commands them to listen, to hear, and not forsake what we're teaching them. But I want to underline it again. We have to teach them that. And we have to discipline them when necessary to make sure they're hearing, that they're listening. So sometimes we have to sit down with them and say, now listen, this isn't fun for either one of us. But God commands me to teach you. And God commands me to discipline you. So this isn't just between me and you, son or daughter. It's between God and me and between God and you. And God commands me to make sure you know that it's your responsibility to make sure you pay attention and to make sure you listen and to make sure you learn. And you see, if I don't do that, I'm sinning against God. Now, I love you to death, but we both have responsibilities from God here, and I don't have any choice. Now, bend over. Well, you get the idea. You know, we've got to communicate like that to our kids somehow so that they get it. It's not just between the child and the parent. God is in this thing, commanding both the parent and the child. And of course, in this verse, he adds these very strong words, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And when we let our kids make all the decisions that they want to make, and let them think that they're smart enough to know what's best for them, we are helping them turn into fools. Of course our kids want to make decisions. Sure, they'll gladly take that responsibility from us. But they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to make decisions. And they will not learn how to make decisions just by being turned loose to make all the decisions they want to make. They learn how by being taught. They're all, now hear me well here, don't misunderstand this. This is biblically speaking. They're all little fools until we teach them God's ways. And if we don't teach them God's ways, someday they'll grow up to be big fools. This is the first time of many times in Proverbs that God warns us that it's possible for us to act like fools. And here's the problem. The natural man, without God, will stumble across some important things about life. We'll learn some valuable things about life. In other words, they'll figure out some of God's principles on their own. But not everything. And some of the most important things for us to learn have to be revealed to us by God. That's why he's given us his word. So we have to read his word, and then have that reinforced by rereading his word and meditating and studying. That's why he's given us his word. So, for example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, God tells us about men who have studied a lot, apparently, and they've learned a lot of the world's knowledge. Maybe they've been to the world's finest schools. And they think they're very wise. But this is what God says about them. Professing themselves to be wise. You hear that? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we see that happening in monstrous numbers in our world today. We have a culture filled with people that God calls fools because they have simply shut him out and shut out his word, and they're trying to figure it out on their own using their own logic, their own wisdom, their own common sense, and it will inevitably let them down. Not only are they making decisions for themselves, but they're trying to make decisions that are binding on everybody else. And it's not from God's perspective, it's from their own foolish perspective. And of course, as we might expect in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, God says it's the other way around too. He says, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. So they look at the things we do, the way we think, and they say, that's foolishness. So they call us fools. God calls them fools. And I want us to take a few minutes here just to take a quick walk through Proverbs of a few of the things that God says are some of the characteristics of a fool. And you'll notice as we look at these different verses that what he says here in verse 7 is like a foundation for the rest. And listen, we need to be careful here. Let's not just think about other people who might be acting like fools. Sure, we'll see some of that. But if we're honest, I think we'll recognize ourselves in some of these verses. Because the truth is, we all have a tendency to act foolish from time to time. And that's why we need to meditate on this book. That's why God gave it to us. And ask God to help us internalize these principles so we will not be fools and not act like fools from time to time. So here in verse 7, he gives us one of the characteristics of the fool. He does not have a teachable spirit. And of course, the truth about this is that there are times when I don't have a teachable spirit. And I'm sure there are times when you don't have a teachable spirit. And sometimes, it's because we get to thinking that if we acknowledge our ignorance, it's going to make us look like a fool. We're afraid we'll look foolish. So we don't acknowledge our ignorance. Now that's pride. And God says that it's really when we refuse to acknowledge our ignorance, in order that we might think that we're avoiding looking like a fool, that we really are looking like a fool. We're really being a fool when we're not being teachable. There are people that go to church every Sunday, and figuratively at least, maybe literally, they sit there with their arms folded, determined that they're not going to be changed. God says, you're being a fool when you think like that. He repeats that idea down in verse 22 of this first chapter. Fools hate knowledge. So let's quickly walk through some of these other proverbs that will help us identify foolishness and hopefully we'll recognize ourselves. We may recognize others as well. And keep in mind, we're just going to touch the surface here. There are many, many other proverbs that deal with this very topic, but we'll look at a few of them here. So let's look at chapter 10, verse 18. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. So God says, running people down, saying bad things about them to others is the mark of a fool. And the fact is, in the New Testament, Jesus tells us exactly how to deal with it. Don't run them down to somebody else, he says. If you see them doing something they shouldn't do, if there's a problem in somebody else, he says, go talk to them. Matthew chapter 18, between you and him alone. If he listens, that's fixed. And if not, you might need to take one or two or three others with you. So Jesus gives us the instructions, but we should not resort to slander. That's what a fool does. On down in chapter 10, verse 23, he says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. So, laughing at sin, trivializing sin, minimizing sin, God says that's a mark of a fool. We live in a time when a lot of the movie and television industry is designed to make us laugh at sin And it can be hilarious. It's true. I mean, sin can lead to some hilarious circumstances. But beyond the hilarity, there will be tragedy. So we need to be very careful about that. You know, and I know, and God teaches that ultimately sin is no joke, even if its immediate consequences seem to be hilarious. Sin is no more a joke than cancer is a joke, or some other deadly disease is a joke. And the danger, the greatest danger here, is that we will sin and then try to laugh it off, minimize it. God says that's very, very foolish. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Now, again, of course, this is close to the idea of that teachable spirit, but the focus here is on how we respond to counsel or advice from other people. When we don't sense the need for counsel, when we think we know all we need to know, God says you're acting like a fool. And again, there are people who don't ask for counsel and don't listen to counsel because they're afraid it will make them look foolish, like they don't know what they need to know, so they're asking somebody else, and it makes them feel inferior somehow, which is a foolish thing to feel. That's built on pride, but it's foolish. Ask for directions? Ha, I don't need directions. I know where I'm going. Famous last words. Hey, I've got a college education. I know what I'm doing. I don't need any advice. God says we're really acting foolish, not when we ask for counsel, but when we don't ask. 12 verse 16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. So here the picture is someone who is quick to explode, someone who loses his temper quickly, someone with a short fuse. God says, when you act like that, you're acting like a fool. And often we try to excuse that with this pitiful little comment. It makes me disgusted every time I hear it. Well, that's just the way I am. Baloney. Baloney. We all have sin problems. We all have different problems. Some of us have an anger problem. Some of us have another kind of problem. But we can never justify it by saying, that's just the way I am. Sure, we have sinful tendencies. Everybody has a sinful tendency. God says, you got to repent. You got to overcome it. You got to let me help you conquer it. And in Proverbs, he will give us all the help we need, really, with the power of his Holy Spirit in us to conquer anger. And we're fools if we don't take him seriously. Chapter 13, the last part of verse 19. To turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. Fools don't like to repent. He says sometimes, you know, we might be a little bit slow to turn from evil because it seems difficult. You know, it is difficult. Sometimes we're kind of lazy. Sometimes we're kind of undisciplined. Sometimes we have bad habits and we don't want to work to overcome them because it just seems like way too much trouble. And God says you're acting like a fool. Chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. And that can work both ways, deceiving and being deceived. Sometimes it's very tempting for us to be deceptive, to leave people with a false impression, because we think the truth will be too painful, either too painful for them or too painful for us. And we let ourselves be deceived because sometimes it just seems like too much trouble to study out the truth. Too much trouble to check it out on Snopes or on Urban Legends. We get email all the time of things that just aren't true. And the person who forwarded it or sent it in the first place wasn't willing to take the time to check it out. And I've told the kids at school pretty often, we need to learn how to discern. Learn to discern. Learn to discern. God says that go on deceiving and to go on being deceived is foolishness. Chapter 14, verse 16. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Now, I'm sure you're noticing how all these fit together and mesh together and kind of feed each other. You know, you choose not to be teachable, or you choose to refuse to listen to counsel, and that's going to lead you to start making decisions recklessly. You plunge ahead, and all too often experiencing some horrific consequences. God says we're acting like fools. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. And he's saying there that some people, when they speak, their words give knowledge and give wisdom, and they can even make it pleasant to listen to. But sometimes we can all be tempted to pour out words when we really ought to just keep quiet. I'm so guilty of that. We're tempted to speak without really knowing what we're talking about. And God says that's foolishness. There is a time to just shut up and listen. And we all need to learn this. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Once again, you hear the teachability factor, but this verse reminds us that we need to pay attention when we get criticized, when we get reproof. We can fall into the trap of thinking that it's a mark of weakness to listen to criticism. But listen, we can learn a lot from God by paying attention to our critics. I know there's a balance here. Critics can say some things that are just not true and they don't fit, and we can reject those things, but we better pray and listen carefully to see if God's trying to tell us something about the way we're behaving or the way we're talking through our critics. Sometimes our critics are more honest than our friends are. So we'd better be wise. When someone criticizes us, instead of having a knee-jerk reaction to just defend ourselves and attack the critic back, listen, pray, ask God to help us understand what he's saying through this criticism. We're being fools unless we listen. Chapter 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. There it is again. Listening doesn't come easy for most of us. We're not natural listeners. We're natural talkers. And sometimes, and when someone's trying to explain something to us, and it takes a little bit of time, instead of trying to understand and listen carefully and maybe ask for clarifying questions and say, you know, I'm not sure I'm following you here. Would you repeat that again? What did you mean by that? Trying to understand, we just interrupt and have our say. It's rude. And I guess rudeness is a sign of our times, but I don't think God's pleased with it. Someone else may be saying something really worth listening to, and we say, hey, I don't mean to interrupt. And that's a lie, by the way, because we know exactly what we're doing. We're interrupting. Hey, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to say, and off we go. God says, when you do that, you're acting like a fool. Chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Sometimes we can spout off our thoughts with little or no awareness of how those words affect other people. And instead of being gracious and kind and gentle and loving, we are making people angrier and angrier and angrier, either at us or maybe at someone else. And God says that's how a fool talks. Chapter 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Some people just love heated arguments. They love to engage in verbal fights, and they will deliberately stir things up because they enjoy it. Watch out for that. You know, if someone cuts us down, we'll cut right back. What did Jesus, our example, do? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, when he was reviled, do you remember the rest of it? When he was reviled, he did not revile back again. We need to learn from that. Proverbs 26:6, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. What's he saying? He's saying fools are unreliable. I need to ask myself, have I ever promised something, maybe even lately, maybe not explicitly, maybe implicitly. Maybe I just implied, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this. You can count on me. We may not say those words, but we communicate it to someone, and then we don't follow through just because something came up, circumstances changed, we let someone down. Now, I know sometimes things do change, and we have to communicate. Hey, I am so sorry. I know I implied I would do this, but I'm just not going to be able to do it. Please forgive me. That has to be done sometimes. But many times, we just blow it off. They were counting on us. We didn't come through. God says, that's the way of a fool. 26:11. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. There's that old unteachable spirit again. When we mess up, we better learn from it. But some of us, we tend to just stubbornly refuse to learn from our mistakes. And the next thing you know, we're right there again. God says that's the way a fool behaves. Learn. Learn from these mistakes. Well, like I said at the beginning of these verses, these are not all of them, but it's probably enough for now. We can only absorb so much. And I suspect it. Maybe you and I both have been convicted by one or more of these verses. The question is, will we learn from it? And that's why we need to spend some prayerful time looking at Proverbs, meditating on these things, thinking about these things, asking God to help us change. And in verse 9, God says, if we will learn from wise instruction, these things, these words, these truths will be a graceful garland for our head and pendants for our neck. In other words, wisdom makes us look good. From God's perspective. Let's look quickly at verses 10 through 19. In verses 10 through 19, God warns us about the danger of greed and the danger of trying to fit in with the crowd. And both of those can be huge problems for some people. Let's just read it. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let's lie in wait for blood. Let's ambush the innocent without reason, like Sheol. Let's swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. You hear what he's saying there? A bird may not have much of a brain. That's why we call some people bird brains, I guess. But even a bird brain, he says, has enough sense to avoid a net that's spread out in plain sight. And these fools don't have that much sense. And they plunge ahead and they think they're lying in wait for somebody else. They're lying in wait for themselves. They fall into their own trap. And so in verse 19, he says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So greed and this desire to fit in with the wrong crowd has led to many, many deaths and many, many ruined lives. There's a huge danger for all of us to want to fit in with whatever crowd we're in. We want to please the people that we run around with, that we hang out with. We want to be accepted. We don't want them to reject us. And that's why it's so hard to stand alone. But that desire to be accepted by people, to please people, to make the people we hang out with happy, leads to great danger. And all of us are susceptible. So we need to pray that God would give us the courage to resist that herd mentality. Father, help us to learn from these things. You have so many awesome truths and proverbs, and we've probably dipped a little too deeply today. There's just so much here. But Father, help us to learn, maybe to find one of these verses that we've talked about today and meditate on it and let you speak to our hearts so that we won't be foolish, so that we'll be wise. And Father, give us the courage we need when those times come when we have to stand alone and we have to tell our friends, our family, our loved ones, people we hang out with that we can't go that way. Lord, help us to have that courage. Help us to have your wisdom. Help us to represent you well to others, that others may see your wisdom in us because your word is in us. And you get all the glory because we sure don't have it in ourselves, of ourselves, in our own flesh. So we praise you, we thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.